Okay, بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our 13th session. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. In Arabic lessons in Hadith, level 3, المستوى الثالث from the Islamic University of Medina Arabic Institute. Today we're going to be looking at Hadith number 13. Al-Hadith al-Thalithu Ashara on page 31, which is entitled Fi Fadli Salati al-Jama'ati. Fi Fadli Salati al-Jama'ati. Yani concerning the excellence or the superiority of the prayer in congregation. Yani the title for this hadith is Yani the excellence or the superiority of the prayer in congregation. An Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صلاة الجماعة أفضل من صلاة الفذ بسبع وعشرين درجة درجة. Again, عن عبد الله وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما. On the authority of Abdullah, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنهما. May Allah be pleased with both of them. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. That the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said. صلاة الجماعة أفضل من صلاة الفذ بسبع وعشرين درجة. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the prayer in congregation is better or more preferable or more excellent than the prayer performed alone. Person praying by themselves. The prayer in congregation in the masjid is better or more excellent and superior over the prayer of one who performs the prayer alone by 7 and 20, yani 27 daraja, 27 degrees, or 27 levels higher in excellence. Muttafaqun alayh, yani muttafaqun alayh, meaning agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Okay, as far as the wording of this hadith, most of the words are clear. But if you have a question about anything in this hadith, well, let's just look at it quickly. Yani from the board, yani on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, we see an, preposition. So the word after it is majroor with kasra, abdi. And then the lafz al-jalala, Allah, is also taking kasra because of its mudhafun ilayhi, Abdullah, abdillahi, it's mudhafun ilayhi majroor. And then, yani ibn Umar is also taking the same ruling as Abd, yani Abdullah ibn Umar, majroor, and Umar is mamnoon min sarf, yani it's mudafun ilayhi majroor, but because it's mamnoon min sarf, and it doesn't take kasra, it takes fatha when it's majroor. Okay? An Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them. Huma is the dual pronoun for third person, both of them. Anna Rasulullah. Anna, yani, the ism anna, Rasul, is ism anna, it's mansoob. Yani, inna wa akhawatuha, the noun that, yani, is the ism of inna or anna, is mansoob. And then the lafz al-jalal is mudhafun ilayhi majroor with kasra. Anna rasoola. Rasoola with fatta. Mansoob. Allahi. Yani mudhafun ilayhi majroor. صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, he said, يعني on the authority of Abdul bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, both of them, him and his father, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, صلاة الجماعة أفضل. يعني صلاة is the مبتدأ, مبتدأ is مرفوع with ضمة, الجماعة is مضاف إليه مجرور with كسرة, أفضل is the خبر. يعني the صلاة in جماعة, what about it? It is أفضل, better, superior, more excellent than صلاة الفذي. يعني من is حرف جاء, صلاة is اسم مجرور, sign that is مجرور is كسرة, الفذي is مضاف إليه, مضاف, مضاف إليه, الفذي مضاف إليه مجرور, the sign that is مجرور is كسرة. يعني بي سبع حرف جاء, سبع اسم مجرور, يعني it has تنوين. Why? Because it doesn't have ألف لام. بي سبع واو العطف, يعني this means this is connected to it by the conjunction, so it takes the same ruling. بي سبع is مجرور, وإشرين is also مجرور. إشرين is مجرور, the sign that is مجرور is what? يا.
Yeah.
Why is it يا?
Because the
عقود, the numbers 20, 30, and 40, and 50 take the same ruling as the جم مذكر سالم. The جم مذكر سالم. They take the same ruling as جم مذكر سالم. Like مسلمون, كافرون, منافقون. When they are مرفوعون, they take واو. When they مجرور or منسوب, they take يا. Yeah. So the uqood, the numbers 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and 90, they take the same ruling as the masculine sound plural, the jam mudhakkar salam. So the sign that is majroor is ya. Walaikum salam. Bi sab'in wa ishreena darajatan. Darajatan is mansoob because of what? Tamyiz. It's the tamyiz for this number, meaning it's clarifying. The 27, what are we talking about? 27 books, 27 cars, 27 degrees. Daraja. Yani, the excellence of it, its level of highness above the prayer that's prayed alone is by 27 degrees. Naam. Muttafaqun alayh with shadda on the ta. Mut. Yani shadda. Muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Any questions? Now,
the word anna, is it just that is the way it was narrated, or
no?
What is the difference? Kala or anna? Is just that is the way it was narrated.
Yeah, that's the way it was narrated. Now, okay. And there are different, yani, expressions that are used for narration. Huh. There are different expressions, so it came like that. Now. Naam?
As soon as you have two people?
I didn't understand what you said.
Jama'ah.
Oh, jama'ah.
As soon as you have two people?
No. Jama'ah, yani, is a group of three or more. Naam. Naam, Faiz.
Darajatan is part.
Naam?
Tamyiz.
Tamyiz, yani from the word mayyaza, yumayyizu, means to make something clear, distinct, to specify, yani to make something clear that's not clear. Here, when you say it is better by 27, 27 what? Yani we want to know, what are you saying 27? Okay, so this makes clear, I'm talking about 27 degrees. Yani am I saying 27 daraja or 27 Daraka or 27, yani juz'a, 27 what? So the thing that makes clear the number, the thing that makes a number clear is called tamyiz, and it's not just used for numbers, but it's used for other things also. In this case, we're talking about numbers. So the tamyiz for the number, for the numbers, for the uqood, and also for the numbers from, yani 13. To 19, or I should say 11 and 12, and 13 to 19, the tamyiz is going to be singular and mansoob, darajatan, the thing that makes it clear.
Maybe also masculine. Darajatan may be also masculine. It is feminine.
No, no, daraja is feminine. I mean, it's always feminine. That's it's written. It's just written with ta marbuta.
In another case, it may be masculine.
But it, huh?
In any other case.
No, no. It's daraja is written with ta marbuta all the time. Okay, and it doesn't have anything to do with masculine or feminine. It's what we are concerned about here is that it's singular and it's mansub. Singular and mansub. Okay, let's look at the words in this hadith that probably might need some explanation. And I think they have just given us one word. Underneath the hadith, it says, Ma'ani al-kalimat. Yani, the meanings of the words. Ma'ani al-kalimat. The word that they gave us here is al-fadhu. Al-fadhu, with shadda on the dhal. Al-fadhu. And the meaning of al-fadhu is al-munfaridu. Alladhi yusalli wahdahu. Yani al-munfarid. Yani the person who is alone. Single person, by theirself. Alladhi yusalli. Here in this hadith it means the one who prays wahdahu, by himself. Wahdahu. And one other word I want to add that didn't come in our book is the word daraja. Ibn Athir, one of the great scholars of hadith, he wrote that the meaning of daraja here, he says, لم يقول جزءاً ولا نصيباً ولا نحو ذلك. Yani the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he didn't say 27 juz'an, 27 parts, or 27 nasiban, portions, or anything like that. But rather he said darajatan, لِأَنَّهُ أَرَادَ الثَّوَابَ مِنْ جِهَةِ الْعُلُو وَالْإِرْتِفَاءِ. Yani because he intended, by the use of the word daraja, he intended the reward, yani 27 daraja of reward, min jihatul ulu, yani from the direction of highness, or irtifa, being raised up. Yani that the reward for this prayer and congregation is raised up high. And daraja, he said, فالدرجات إلى جهة الفوق. Daraja refers to going up, as opposed to darakat refers to going down. So darajat means going up, and therefore, yani Ibn Athir, rahimahullah, he says, this is, yani, from the reasons for the use of this word in this hadith, to show that the reward, the level of the reward is higher. Yani, the degrees means that it's higher in reward than the reward for the prayer of the one who prays alone. The one who prays alone gets some reward, but the reward of the one who prays in congregation is higher, 27 levels or degrees higher. Darakat. Naam, with kaf. Okay, after this, idahat nahwiyya. Yani grammatical clarifications. The word afdalu in this hadith, yani that salatul jama'ati is afdal. Hada ism tafdeel. Ism tafdeel, wa alaykum salam. Meaning the comparative. Or it may also be used for the superlative. Yani this is an expression that's used to show comparison between two things or more, or the superiority. Wa alaykum salam. Of something over everything else. The superlative form means it is the best, the biggest, the greatest, whatever. Okay, so here the ism tafdil is used for comparison, meaning comparing the reward for the prayer in congregation to the reward for the prayer of the one who prays alone. We're on page 31, hadith number 13. Wa alaykum salam. So afdalu here is called in Arabic language ismu tafdil. Ism tafdil. وَهُوَ عَلَى وَزْنٍ أَفْعَلُ with Dhamma instead of with Fatha as written in the book. With Dhamma. أَفْضَلُ عَلَى وَزْنٍ أَفْضَلُ. Yani its pattern is أَفْعَلُ. Yani the root word, yani is composed of three letters. فَعَلَى. So you put, yani Hamza with Fatha before the first root letter. The first root letter takes sukoon, the second root letter takes fatha nam. So it became af'alu. Here are some examples of the use of the ism tafdil. Taqulu, you say, for example, number one, Ahmadu atwalu min Abbasin. Yani Ahmed is taller than Abbas. So this shows the superlative, that it's being used here in the superlative form. I mean comparative form, because it's comparing the height of Ahmed to Abbas. And the meaning is what? That Ahmed is taller, atwalu min Abbas. And he may not be the tallest one in the room, but he's taller than Abbas. In comparison to Abbas, he is taller. The second example, Makkatu akbaru min al-Madinati. Yani al-Munawwarati or al-Nabawiyyati. And I'll just repeat this again, that the word, yani the description of al-Madina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the word munawwara, yani is in use today by almost everyone. It is the common description of the city of Medina, but it is not a legislated yani description. Yani it is not yani proper or correct to use this word as its origin. Munawwara is from Nur, and it came from the belief of the people who deviated that it is the city of light, because the Prophet ﷺ was created from light. And he wasn't created from the soil of the earth like other human beings, he was created from light. Therefore, Medina is the city of light. So this is a false belief, and this is why the people of Sunnah, yani if they clarify this matter, they will say it is more proper to use another name, like for example, Al-Madina An-Nabawiyyah. Yani Nabawiyyah from the word Nabi, city of the Prophet. Now, okay. So, Makkatu akbaru min al-Madinati al-Nabawiyyati, yani meaning Mecca is larger, bigger, nam, or greater than the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, this is being used in the comparative form, yani in comparison, Mecca in comparison to Medina, Mecca is bigger. Here, there's a note, very important note. Fi mithli hadha tarqib, yani in the like of this compound or this tarqib, this arrangement of words, yani the arrangement of words we're talking about, an expression using the ism tafdil when something is being compared to something else. Fi mithli hadha tarqib yabqa ism tafdil mufradan mudhakkaran da'iman. They said what? That in this type of arrangement, where we are showing comparison between two things, then the ism tafdil here remains mufrad, singular, mudhakkar, masculine, da'iman, always. It doesn't change, even if the things we are comparing are singular, dual, plural, masculine, feminine, the ism tafdil remains singular, masculine. For example, أخي أكبر من أختي سنن. Yani the noon should have shadda on it. سنن. And sin should be سنن with shadda on the noon. The meaning? Walaikum salam.
My brother is older
or bigger than my sister. But it means older because what? Because the tamyiz here makes it clear what we're talking about. Bigger in what? In age. Sin. In age. Therefore it means, my brother is older than my sister. Literally, bigger than my sister in age. Note that akhi is masculine and ukhti is feminine, but akbar remains masculine. If we reverse, ukhti asgharu min akhi sinnan, with shadda on the noon. My sister is smaller than my brother in age, yani younger. Even though we began with ukhti here, the ism tafdil remains masculine, asghar. Turning to page 32, another example. Ar-rijalu asbaru min an-nisa. asbaru min an-nisa. Yani the men are
more patient
or forbearing or enduring than nisa. Maybe they mean enduring. I don't know about patience. Maybe they mean they are more enduring of hardship and difficulties in the going out into the world and dealing with yani the matters of the dunya. In any case, it's just an example. Don't be yani taken aback by it. Ar-rijalu asbaru min an-nisa'i. Yani, huh? Men are more enduring than women. Huh? So here we see that the two things we are comparing are plurals, but yet the ism tafdil remains masculine singular. An-nisa'u adha'afu min ar-rijali. The women are weaker than the men. And again, we begin with women here, and the ism tafdil remains masculine, singular. And no problem, we can change it. We can say, an-nisa'u asbaru min ar-rijali. Women are more enduring, patient, yani, forbearing than men. No problem. Huh? Naam. Anyway, it's just any linguistic, any example. Not a problem. Okay, the next point after ism tafdil, right? MashaAllah. That's Jamil over there? MashaAllah. Ahlan. Tayyib. At the ism tafdil, the main thing we want to note about the ism tafdil is that its wazn, its pattern is af'alu, and that yani in this type of ism tafdil construction, yani the ism tafdil is going to remain singular and masculine, even if we're talking about plural things or singular or masculine or feminine, it remains masculine singular. Okay, the next point is darajatan. Hadhihi kalima tamyizu al-adadi. This word is the tamyiz for the number. Tamyiz here meaning what? The word that clarifies what we are talking about when we use a number. If we say 27 of what, then the tamyiz makes clear to us what we are talking about. Okay? So this word, darajatan, is the tamyiz of the number. In this hadith, the number 27. 27, daraja. وَهُوَ mansub, and it is, yani, in the accusative case, and we should say, it is also mufrad, right? The tamyiz for the numbers 20, 30, 40, and 50, they are always mufrad, singular, mansub in the accusative case. But they are when? They are mufrad, mansub, ba'da al-adad al-murakkab wal-uqudi. Yani after the compound numbers, like 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, compound numbers where you have two numbers together. And after the uqud means the numbers, multiples of 10, like 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, not including the number 10. But the number from 20 to 90, those numbers are called uqud. And the tamyiz for this type of number, the compound number, and the uqud, their tamyiz is always mufrad mansub, singular in the accusative case. That's why it came daraja, not darajat. Even though we're saying 27, degrees in English, but in Arabic it's singular, daraja. Okay, and it's going to be mansub. And we might note that the tamyiz for other numbers, like the numbers 3 to 10, are going to be yani plural and majroor. Plural and majroor, okay? Yani that's from our lessons that we took in, I think, book 1. Tayyib. So, examples of tamyiz for the murakkab numbers and the uqud. Naam.
For the al-uqud, it's from
20 to 90. Murakkab, yani, from 11 to 19. Okay, so here are examples for each of them. Yani the first example, ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaban. Huh? Meaning? I saw 11 stars. So here you see the compound number. Yani al-adad al-murakkab. the compound number 11. It's composed of two numbers. That's why it's called compound. The compound number, it's tamyiz. If a person said, I saw 11, you will ask them, you saw 11 what? 11 horses, 11 monkeys, 11 apples, 11 what? So to clarify it, we bring the tamyiz, and the tamyiz for the compound numbers is always going to be singular, mansub. That's why we say kawkaban. Kawkab, its plural would be kawakib. But we're using the singular here, even though we're saying 11. I saw 11, what?
Stars.
Okay, the second example, qara'atu sab'a ashrata safhatan. I read 17 pages. Okay, 17 what? 17 pages. This is also a compound number, adad murakkab. So it's tamyiz that clarifies what this number is talking about. It's tamyiz is going to be singular mansub. As far as the uqood, we said they are the numbers from 20 to 90. Indi ishruna riyalan. I have 20 riyals. Okay, here, the number ishrun is from the uqood. Therefore, it's tamyiz. 20 what? 20 riyals. The tamyiz is going to be singular. Mansoob. And by the way, the i'rab of ishruna here, what is its i'rab?
Mubtada.
What kind of mubtada? Mu'akhar. There's the mubtada that came late. Why is it delayed? Because the khabar is a shibah jumla. Naam. Tayyib. The last example, hadara thalathatun wa thamanuna taliban. Meaning? 83 students attended. Yani thalathatun wa thamanuna. 3 and 80. As in our hadith, we had what? Yani sab'in wa ishruna. Sab'in, yani bi sab'in wa ishruna. And here we have thalathatun wa thamanuna. 3 and 80 students. The tamyiz is singular mansub. Okay, any question about tamyiz? There are different types of tamyiz. This is what's sufficient for us at this point. After this, ma'na al-hadith. Ma'na al-hadith. The meaning of the hadith. Salatul jama'ati aktharu thawaban wa a'zamu ajran min salatil munfaridi bi sab'in wa ishrina darajatan. Yani the prayer in congregation is aktharu thawaban, it is more in reward. Wa a'zamu ajran, and it is greater in reward or in recompense. Yani ajr usually is something you receive as a recompense for something you have done. It is more in reward and it is greater in reward. The prayer in congregation, min salat al-munfaridi, than the prayer al-munfarid, yani al-fadh, the one who prays alone. By how many degrees? Bi sab'in wa ishrina. 7 and 20. 27 darajatan. I just want to read quickly, yani a comment. And I'll come back again to it later in Taysir al-Alam, the Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam. Yani the
technical question, let me divert you.
Huh?
Is it wajib for the congregation?
We didn't come to that yet. Is it wajib for the congregation? We didn't come to that yet. We're going to come to that, inshallah, bi-idhnillah. Okay, the Sheikh Abdurrahman Ali Bassam, in his explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam, yani the collection of hadith from Bukhari and Muslim, concerning this particular hadith, he said, in terms of the meaning of this hadith, he said, in this hadith, it points to a clarification of the excellence or superiority of the prayer in jama'ah over the prayer of one who prays alone. And that is because the jama'ah, what it contains of benefits and that which is in the interest of the person who performs it, therefore it is preferable and it is increased, yani, in terms of its reward over the prayer of the one who prays alone by 27 degrees. And this is due to the difference between the two acts and how one has a great, yani, tafawat al-kabir, yani, one is far above, yani, in its excellence than the other in terms of fulfilling that which is intended by the prayer and achieving that which is, yani, from the benefits of the prayer. And from that which is intended by the prayer is nearness to Allah and nearness of the people. And that's why the prayer in congregation, yani, one of the reasons for its establishment is that the people worship Allah together, not everybody by themselves. Otherwise, everybody can pray alone. No need for congregational prayer. But then the society, the cementing of the brotherhood and the society doesn't take place when everybody is in their little corner in their own home praying alone. طيب, and the Shaykh, he says also, وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ مَنْ ضَيَّعَ هَذَا الرِّبْحَ الْكَبِيرَ مَحْرُومُ وَأَيْ مَحْرُومُ. And there is no doubt that the one who has neglected this great, yani, benefit, or this great profit, ribh kabir, whoever has neglected this, then he is mahroom, he is one who is deprived, and he deprived of a great reward. Okay, let's go back to our book, and we'll come back to his discussion to answer your question, inshallah. ما يستفيد من الحديث. Yani, in our book on page 32, after the meaning of the hadith, it says, مَا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ أَحْكَامٍ. Yani, what are some of the legal rulings that are we benefit from this hadith? Number one, Salatul Jama'ati, the prayer in congregation, is أَكْثَرُ ثَوَابًا مِنْ Salatul Fadhi. And this is one of the clearest benefits from this hadith, that the prayer in congregation is more in its reward than the prayer of the one who prays alone. The second point, الحث على صلاة الجماعة. In this hadith we also find the encouragement of performing the prayer in congregation. الحث, encouragement. And this great reward should be an encouragement, that I want to get that reward, 27 degrees higher. And the third point is صحة صلاة الفذ. Should be فذ with كسرة, فذ. وَعَدَمُ بُطْلَانِهَا. Yani, the validity of the prayer of one who prays alone. And عَدَمُ بُطْلَانِهَا, that it is not, yani, invalid. The prayer of the one who prays alone is not invalid. Yani, صِحَّةُ صَلَاةُ الْفَذِّ mean it's valid. It is not invalid. بُطْلَان, yani, باطل. It's not, yani, باطل, invalid. And we will add, as the Shaykh, or maybe I'll read from what he said. Yeah, I'll read from what he said. In terms of the benefits of this hadith, we have three that we should retain. The prayer in jama'ah is more in reward than the prayer alone. Also in this hadith there is encouragement for praying in the jama'ah. And also we understand from this hadith that the prayer of the one who prays alone is valid. It is not invalid. This is a very important point. Okay, before we go to the questions, and there are only three, I just want to read the benefits that Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam rahimahullah mentions in the explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam. He said from this hadith, some of the same points, he's worded them a little bit differently, and some extra points. And these are just benefits, we don't have to memorize them, but, and he says from what we derive from this hadith is, فِيهِ بَيَانْ فَضْلُي الصَّلَاةِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعِ. In this hadith is a clarification of the superiority of the prayer along with the congregation. Number two, فِيهِ بَيَانْ قِلَّةِ الثَّوَابِ صَلَاةُ الْمُنْفَرِدِ بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِصَلَاةِ الْجَمَاعَةِ. فِيهِ بَيَانْ قِلَّةِ ثَوَابِ صَلَاةِ الْمُنْفَرِدِ. Yani, also in this hadith is a clarification of the small amount of the reward of the one who prays alone. بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِصَلَاةِ الْجَمَاعِ, in reference to or in comparison to the prayer of the one who prays in congregation. Number three, الفرق الكبير في الثواب, the big difference in the reward بين صلاة الجماعة والانفراد, the big difference in the reward between the two prayers, the one that's prayed in congregation and the one that's prayed alone. There's a big difference. And number four, sihhatu salat al-munfarid wa ijza'uha anhu. And this was mentioned in our book, but yani, he added something here. The validity of the prayer of the one who prays alone, and also ijza'uha, means that it counts, and the person is giving credit when they pray alone for having performed the obligatory prayer. If a person prays alone, he gets credit for that prayer, and it is valid, but the reward is not the same. And then he says, and he explains the reason for this, and that's the benefit that I wanted to read from here. The reason why, how we understood the prayer is valid, and that it counts, you get credit for it, for fulfilling the obligation. He said, لِأَنَّ لَفْظْ أَفْضَلْ, because the word أَفْضَلْ in this hadith, Salatul Jama'ati أَفْضَلْ, he said, in this hadith, that word indicates that both of the prayers contain some فَضْل, some excellence. Both of them contain some excellence, وَلَكِنْ تَزِيدُ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى, but one of them has an increase over the other. Yani when you say this is yani better than that, it means both of them have good, but one is better than the other. Yani al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun min al-mu'min al-da'if. The strong believer is better than the weak believer. It doesn't mean that the weak believer has no good. Both of them have good, but one has more good. Both of these prayers have some excellence, but one has more excellence. That's the point the Shaykh is saying, how we understand from this hadith that the prayer prayed alone is valid. It's just that the other one in congregation is more excellent than it. It's more rewardable. It's greater in reward. And he says this is because of the benefits, the many benefits that are contained in the prayer in congregation. For that reason, it is more excellent than the prayer prayed alone by 27 degrees. Naam. Well, just 1 minute. I just want to finish this point. This is his last point. He says, yani the validity of the prayer of the prayer of the one who prays alone, wahada, but the one in congregation is more excellent and more superior in reward, wahada fi haq ghayr al ma'adhur. This is in reference to the person who doesn't have any excuse for praying alone. Then the prayer in congregation is better and greater reward. Is better and greater in reward than if he had prayed in the congregation. The congregation is better than if he had prayed alone. That is in reference to the one who doesn't have an excuse for praying alone. أَمَّا الْمَعْذُورِ, the one who has an excuse for praying alone, فَقَدْ دَلَّتْ النُّسُوسُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ أَجْرَهُ تَامٌ. Then the textual proofs from the sunnah prove that that person's reward will be complete and perfect. Meaning that they wouldn't get less reward for praying alone. They will get the full reward, as though they had prayed in congregation. Why? Because they are ma'adhur. They have an excuse. They have a sharia reason why they couldn't pray in congregation. Like the person who can't walk and have no one to carry them to the masjid, they will not get a less reward by praying alone, because they couldn't get to the congregation. So they will get a full reward. So this superiority and reward of the prayer in jama'ah is for the one, is in reference to the one who has no legitimate excuse for abandoning the congregation. He just is lazy, is unconcerned and uncommitted to praying in jama'ah. Okay, we still have a few minutes before the adhan, and I still have a couple of more points to make, and we have some questions. Let's do the questions, and then we'll come to the final, any difference of opinion concerning this matter.
That answer, sorry, that answer my question on the ta'zim salah when we're doing the book.
Let's finish it. Yeah. Let's finish it, okay? Because we're not finished with this subject yet. Now, except yani, a person has an excuse. Now,
like, would it be considered praying alone? Like, people in the quarters near the Masjid Haram, they pray in their room instead of, because it's too crowded. Would it be?
No, they pray in their room because they want to pray in their room. Yani, if it's too crowded. If it's too crowded, why are there 3 million people down there praying in the masjid?
But if you pray in your room, would you consider jama'ah?
How you will get the prayer in jama'ah praying in your room? You have to go to the masjid. And if the prayer in jama'ah...
No, they pray with the jama'ah.
They pray at the same time. So, if the masjid has a speaker, a big speaker outside of the masjid, and you live across the street, can you just stay home and pray along with them? You listen to them, go and ruku with them, and stand and bow and prostrate?
No.
You will get the same reward as the people who got dressed and left their house and went to the masjid? It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, in authentic hadith, some of the people told him that we're going to move and he relocate our residence close to your masjid. He said, don't do it. Stay where you are, far away. You will get rewarded for every step that you make to the masjid. So if you make no steps to the masjid, what you will get? Sifr. Anyway, let's try to finish because we're going to run out of time, and there are a few very important points that we're going to make here related to this topic of importance, but I want to make sure we finish the questions. So, okay, there are three questions remaining at the end of this lesson. The first question, Hati hadithan fi fadli salat al-jama'ati. Yani, give us a hadith concerning the excellence or the superiority of the prayer in congregation. Naam, Abu Bakr. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala salatul jama'ati
salatul jama'ati
afdal min salatil fajr bi sab'i
sab'in wa tanween
sab'in wa ishrin.
Jayid. Now, that Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the prayer in congregation is better or superior or more excellent than the salat alone by 27 degrees. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Muttafaqun alayhi. Okay, second question. Become daraja. Tafdulu salatul jama'ati salata al-fadhi. Yani, by how many degrees is the prayer in congregation superior to the prayer of one who prays alone? Naam. Be what? Bi sab'in. Bi sab'in. Yani ba's harf ja, right? Bi sab'in with tanween wa ishrina daraja. By 27 degrees. And the last question, akmal al hadith. Yani fill in the spaces. Somebody fill in the spaces. Naam ya Nasir. نعم نعم أكمل الحديث صلاة الجماعة
أفضل
أفضل that's the first word أفضل
من صلاة الفذ
من صلاة الفذ that's the second word
بسبعين وعشرين درجة
بسبعين وعشرين درجة by 27 degrees. Okay, we're going to close with just some discussion from, we're going to go back to Taysir al-Alam, the Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam, because we want to clarify the issue that you, the question that came up earlier. Naam. How can both of them be fine? What's the difference between Ishreen and Ishreena? Yani Ishreena. Yani the number, if it's Mansoob or Majroor, it takes Fatah on the end of it. Or even if it's mansub, I mean marfu'an. Ishruna, ishrina, naam. Tayyib, ikhtilaf al-ulama. Yani this is the point concerning this hadith of whether or not this hadith is a proof that it's obligatory for everyone, yani for men, adult men, who don't have any legitimate sharia excuse. Is it obligatory for them to pray in the jama'ah? So the Shaykh, he says, there are four opinions concerning this. اختلف العلماء اختلاف العلماء اختلف العلماء في حكم صلاة الجماعة concerning what is the ruling of the prayer and congregation. The first opinion is the opinion of some scholars from the Hanafi, Maliki and Shafi'i Madhab. Some scholars from Hanafi, Maliki and Shafi'i Madhab. Some scholars from each of those three Madhabs held the opinion أنها سنة مؤكدة. That it is sunnah mu'akkada. Yani, meaning that it is a confirmed sunnah, a stressed sunnah. But it's sunnah, not fard. The second opinion is a different group of scholars from the same three madhabs. Some other scholars from the Hanafi, Maliki and Shafi'i scholars, yani madhabs, they said that the salat in jama'ah is fard kifaya. Fard kifaya. Yani, meaning that it's obligatory upon the whole group. As long as some of them fulfilled it, the others are free of blame. As long as some people came, everybody else is free of blame. Otherwise, if nobody came for the Jama'ah, everybody is sinful. The third opinion is the opinion of Imam Ahmed and his followers and the Ahlul Hadith. And their opinion is that it is Fard Ayn. Fard Ayn, meaning it's obligatory on every individual who is responsible. Every adult male, yani sane, able person. From men, congregational prayer is obligatory upon the men. Yani their opinion is what? That is Fard Ayn, not Fard Kifaya. And the fourth opinion, he said, the Zahiriyya hold the opinion that it is Shart Lisihat As-Salat. Shartun Lisihat As-Salat. Yani that it is a condition for the validity of the prayer. Meaning, if you don't fulfill that condition, your prayer is invalid. He said they went to the extreme, Balagat Al-Zahiriyya. They went to the extreme with their opinion. In any case, these are the four opinions. First opinion is Sunnah Mu'akkada, a confirmed Sunnah. Second opinion, that is Fard, but Fard Al-Kifaya on the whole group. Third opinion, Fard Ayn on every individual. Fourth opinion, it is a Shart, a condition for the validity of the prayer. Then the Shaykh discusses each of these opinions in some detail and evidences for them. We don't have time to discuss all of them, but we're going to look at the third opinion, which is Allahu A'lam, the strongest opinion. He said, as far as the evidences of those who hold that it's obligatory on every individual, their evidences are sahih, hadith, and they are sarih, clear in their indication. From amongst the hadith of Abu Hurairah, where the Prophet ﷺ said he intended to have somebody call the adhan and iqamah, and have some people gather some wood, and go to the houses of the people who didn't attend the prayer and congregation, and burn their houses down while they are inside of them. يُحَرِّكْ عَلَيْهِمْ بُيُوتَهُمْ. Burn down their houses while they're inside of them. This is a clear hadith that's sahih. And this hadith is not in reference to Jum'ah, it's in reference to Jama'ah. Second hadith, the hadith of the blind man that we took previously, where he asked permission from the Prophet ﷺ due to the difficulties of the road and the hardship of getting there without any guide, and he asked permission to pray at home, and the Prophet said, do you hear the call? He said, then answer, you must come to the congregational prayer. The third hadith is that, or the third proof that they use is that it is legislated, even in the most severe conditions or circumstances, to perform the prayer in Jama'ah, and that is what? In the battlefield. Even in the battlefield. While you're facing the enemy in front of you, the congregational prayer is still obligatory. The Shaykh, he says, and then there are also other evidences that cannot be rejected, nor can they be explained away. And then he begins to answer the evidences of the other people, but for the sake of time, we'll just have to skip through them, and I'll just go to the end of what he says. And in the end, he says that Zakara ibn al-Qayyim, the student of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them, in his book, As-Salat, he said that the madhahib of the ulama, yani he mentioned the madhahib of the ulama and their evidences, yani the opinions of each madhab and their evidences, and then he said, من تعمل السنة حق التعمل, whoever reflects upon the sunnah in the rightful manner, yani with his full right, carefully reflecting upon it, تبين له أن فعلها في المساجد فرض العيان, yani that the performance of this prayer, yani in the masjids, meaning in congregation, is obligatory on every individual. إلا لعارض يجوز معه ترك الجمعة والجماعة, except something that, yani an incidental, something that took place that you have no control over, that may allow a person to abandon the Jumu'ah prayer and the Jama'ah prayer. Yani except for the person who something happened that prevented them against their ability, yani to get past it. وَبِهَذَا تَتَّفِقْ جَمِيعَ الْأَحَدِيثُ وَالْآثَارُ. And in this way, we are able to bring agreement to all of the hadith and the athar that are used by the various madhahib for their various opinions. فَالَّذِي نَدِينُ اللَّهِ بِهِ أَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ لِأَحَدْ تَخَلَّفْ عَنَ الْجَمَاعَةِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ إِلَّا مِنْ أُذْرٍ. And for this reason, Ibn al-Qayyim said, that which I worship Allah with, yani what I believe, yani based upon, yani as my religion, yani something that I seek to get near to Allah with, is that it is not permissible for anyone to remain behind from the prayer of the congregation in the masjid, except the person who has a legitimate shar'i excuse. The hadith for next week is hadith number 14 on page 33, al-hadithu al-rabi'u ashara, the 14th hadith, fi fadli al-safi al-awwali, concerning the excellence or the superiority of the first rank, yani the first line in the congregational prayer. An Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu, on the authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, law ya'lamu an-nasu ma fi an-nida'i was-saffi al-awwali thumma lam yajidu illa an yastahimu alayhi lastahamu walau ya'lamuna مَا فِي التَّهْجِيرِ لَسْتَبَقُوا إِلَيْهِ وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِي الْعَطَمَةِ وَالصُّبْحِ لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَى مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Again, Abu Hurairah said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ النَّاسُ, if the people only knew, مَا فِي النِّدَاءِ وَالصَّفَّ الْأَوَّلِ, that which is contained of reward and benefit in the call, the nida, in calling the adhan, and the saf al-awwal, and praying in the first line of the congregational prayer. If people only knew what it contained of benefit, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَجِدُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَسْتَحِمُوا عَلَيْهِ, and then they didn't find any way to get to be the one who calls the adhan, or to get to be in the first line, if they didn't find any way to get it, except that they draw lots to see who will get that position, lastahamu, then they would have drawn lots. And if people knew how beneficial was the prayer in the first line, and there was no way to get it except there was so many people, everybody getting there at the same time, that they would have to draw lots, they would draw lots. They wouldn't just say, all right, you get in the first line. No, they would say, I want my spot. Let's draw lots on this. Okay, if people knew, huh? Lottery. Yani, meaning you put everybody's name in the bag, and whoever's name comes out, they get to pray in the first row, or they get to call the adhan. If people knew what this, the virtue of the calling of the adhan and the prayer in the first line, and there was no way to get to be that one except by drawing lots, then they would draw lots. Second point, وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِي التَّهْجِيرِ, and if they knew, yani what it contains, the reward of being early, tahajir, meaning coming to the prayer early, lastabaku ilayhi, then they would have competed with one another to get there early. Third point, walau ya'lamuna ma fil 'atamati was-subhi, and if they knew what it contained, yani in the 'atama means the isha prayer, and the subhi means the fajr prayer, if the people knew the great reward that's contained in these two prayers, the night prayer and the morning dawn prayer, لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَا, they would have come to these two prayers even if they had to come crawling on their hands and knees. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Naam. This hadith we're going to discuss next week. What? Hamzatul Wasl. لَسْتَحْمُ. Naam, Hamzatul Wasl. Okay, we have 5 minutes remaining, or 4 minutes, and...
Is it 1:30?
The class is over at 1:15, the prayer is at 1:30. But in any case, we might take an extra minute. Naam, Akhi.
Sheikh, the part you said, the Isha prayer and the Fajr prayer, Subha, and then what is it?
La atawhuma walau habwa. They would come. Yani ata to come. Atau, they would have come to it, even crawling. Okay, in the few minutes remaining, we want to complete yani something that we didn't complete from a long time ago, that is the muqaddimah فعلم الحديث. يعني the introduction to علم الحديث. We started in the beginning of this course to read from this introduction. We never finished it.
But we have a question for the hadith.
So today's hadith will take next week. I mean, yani the last hadith. طيب, let's finish the introduction and then we'll take questions, inshallah. Because we put this introduction off for how many weeks now? We never finished it. Okay, the introduction to hadith is in the beginning of the book on page 3. We already read the first point, which is the meaning of hadith. Please review it. We already read the second point, the benefits of learning hadith. Also, please review it. And the third point is the station, the high station or status of the sunnah in reference to the book, the Quran. And we read that already. Please review them. The fourth and fifth point, and we'll close with these. Fourth point is kayfa. The first word, number 4 on page 4, halfway down the page, it should be kayfa. Okay, it should be the word kayfa. Ka, kafata, ya, sukun, fa. Kayfa, hafava, al-muslimuna, al-sunnah. Yani, how did the Muslims preserve the sunnah? How did the Muslims preserve the sunnah? What was the method that they used? لَقَدْ حَفِظَ الصَّحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ كُلَّمَا صَدَرَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَفْظًا جَيِّدًا. Yani, the companions of the Prophet, may Allah be pleased with them, حَفِظَ, they protected and preserved and memorized كُلُّ مَا صَدْرَ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ, everything that came from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, حَفْظًا جَيِّدًا, with a good, yani, memorization. ثُمَّ نَقَلُوهُ إِلَى التَّابِعِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ بِصِدْقٍ وَأَمَانَةٍ. After they memorized what they heard and saw with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the second level, they what? نَقَلُوهُ, they conveyed it to the تابعين, the second generation of those who came after them, min ba'dihim, and they conveyed it bisidqin, truthfully, wa amana, and faithfully and truthfully. Wa ha'ulai tabi'una, third stage. Then these tabi'una, yani the students of sahaba, naqaluhu ila man ja'a ba'dahum kadhalika. Then they conveyed it to those who came after them in the same mana, yani bisidq wa amana, yani truthfully and faithfully, yani carefully, giving extreme care to it. Hatta wasalat, and this is the next stage, hatta wasalat as sunnatu ila al a'immati huffad al hadith, until the sunnah, the whole body of sunnah, reached the imams who were the preservers of hadith. Yani, like the imams, like Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, and Al-Imam Malik, and Al-Imam yani Ahmed, and so on. Until the sunnah reached them intact, the way it was originally received by the Sahaba, and then the Tabi'een, and then it was delivered, conveyed faithfully to the imams, the Huffaz of Hadith. The Huffaz of Hadith, when they received it, فَجَمَعُوهَا, they collected it together, gathered it together. وَخَرَّجُوهَا, and then they brought it from their sources, yani they identified the sources of the hadith, the chains, and where they came from, who they went back to, all the way to the Prophet ﷺ. وَدَوَّنُوهَا, and then they recorded it, they wrote it down, yani they gathered what they received from the tabi'een, they identified its sources through the chains of narrators, and then they recorded it, fil qutub, in the books. Yani their books, the books that we take hadith from today. Two definitions. As-sahabi, yani because the sahabi, they're the first ones who heard it, and then they transferred it to the tabi'een, and then they transferred it to the huffaz al-hadith, the imams of hadith. What is a sahabi? Man laqiya al-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa amana bihi, wa mata musliman. Three things. Yani a person who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa amana bihi, and believed in him. Yani met him while believing in him, not met him and later believed. But while he met the Prophet, he was a believer. Because some people met the Prophet as mushriks, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and later on they became Muslims. That's not a sahabi. But the person who met the Prophet believing in him, being he was a believer when he met him. Wamata Musliman, and he died as a Muslim. Because some people met the Prophet as a believer and then apostated and died as a kafir. Okay, so the person met the Prophet as a believer and he died as a Muslim. What is the tabi'i? The one who met a sahabi. Man laqiya as-sahabi, a sahabi. He met a companion, radiallahu anhu, Musliman. Yani he met him as a Muslim. He was a Muslim when he met the companion. Wamata Musliman, and he also died upon Islam. And the last point, yani in this level of the preservation of Sunnah, are the Imams. Who are the Imams? Point number 5 on the bottom of the page. Man hum al-a'immatu hafadhul hadith. Who are these Imams that received the Sunnah from the Tabi'een, who received it from Sahaba? They said these Imams, هم الذين جمعوا السنة. They are those who collected the Sunnah. وخرجوها, and brought it forth from its sources with the chains of narrators. ودونوها في الكتب, and then they recorded it in the books. This is what we mean by the Imams, the Hufad al-Hadith. They are those who collected the Sunnah, identified its sources, recorded it in books. وَأَبَعَدُ أَنْهَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهَا, and then they separated, distanced from it that which is not from it. Meaning, they identified the authentic narrations from the false ones and separated them. وَهُمْ كَثِيرُونَ, and they are many. These Imams are many. مِنْهُمْ, a few of them, are number one, Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas, Rahimahullah, صاحب كتاب الموطأ. Yani, the one who is the owner or the author of the book, the collector of the book, Al-Muwatta. He was born in the year 93 and died in the year 179. The second of the great Imams of Sunnah, Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Rahimahullah, Sahib Kitab Al-Musnad. Yani, he is the one who recorded the book known as Al-Musnad, and there are a lot of books known as Musnad, but the most famous one is the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. He was born in the year 164 and died in the year 241. And the third of the Imams, and look at the dates of their death. Imam Malik died in the year 179. Imam Ahmed died in the year 241, long time after. And the third of the Imams, he died in the year 256. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, sahib al-kitab al-jami al-sahih. Yani, the one who recorded the book known as Al-Jami al-Sahih, is known to us as the Sahih of Bukhari. He was born in the year 194, died in the year 256. And that is the end of our introduction that we delayed for a long time. We just wanted to complete it. And even if we went over time a few minutes, inshallah, we're going to stop here. And if there are really pressing questions, inshallah, we'll take them. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.